My beloved people, I have two or three items in the bulletin that I think need to be emphasized this morning. Number one, of course, the All Souls Day envelopes. Please strive to have these back before the 1st of November so that we can put them on the altar. And we're preparing, of course, getting ready for the fact that the last Sunday of October is a patronal feast of our monastery, the Feast of Christ the King. All Saints' Day is a holy day of obligation, and the Mass is on All Saints' Day, as you know, as you can see, are 6, 8, and 10. It is a holy day of obligation. The next day, which is the commemoration of the souls in purgatory, is not a holy day of obligation, and the Masses are at 6 and 8. We formerly had a Mass at 7 in the evening, but our experience these last two or three years has been that nobody has showed up for the evening Mass. And we draw attention to the totius quotius indulgences, which are noted for the commemoration on All Souls Day, beginning at noon on All Saints Day and ending at midnight on All Souls Day, that each and every visit that you make to the chapel on that day, now you can come in and go out, come in and go out, come in and go out as many times as you have time to do it, and say the five Our Fathers and the five Hail Marys and the five Glory Be to the Fathers for the poor souls in purgatory. However, you have to add an additional Our Father and a Hail Mary and Glory Be to the Father according to the intention of the pontiff. Now, it makes little difference what we feel about that, but the rule is if we want to gain the indulgence, we have to do that. So you're perfectly free to either do it or not do it, and of course you will either gain it or not gain it, so according to the way you react to that. Now, I have another point that I want to definitely burn into your minds, and that is, as we all know, over here we have what we know and what we call the storm lamp. This lamp, as you know, burns all the time, and it is as a protection to all of us, that God will protect us from the ravages of storm, the wind and the rain and the lightning and whatever. And it burns all the time for the protection of us all who trust and have faith. Well, now, we now have developed other fears and other concerns, and we have a second lamp, which is on this side, which we now burn for the welfare of us all, to protect us against the ravages and the destructions and the fears and the concerns that we have prevalent today. So, all we do, and our one and foremost concern, is our own protections. So we have these two lamps that are burning perpetually, and we're asking Almighty God for His protection. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. The other day, it was brought out in church when we had the funeral service for little Ann Claire Patterson. A certain point was brought out which I think needs to be enlarged upon somewhat, and to bring into focus Catholicism, or to bring into better focus Catholicism. And the point, as mentioned in the bulletin, not that I'm trying to reread the bulletin to you, you can do that for yourselves. that for those who believe, no explanation is necessary. And for those who do not believe, who do not want to believe, no explanation or argument is possible. Now we are in the midst of whatever these days, and we're caught. And we're caught between that which is true and that which is untrue. And as we all know, today we have agencies that are constantly presenting to us whatever. And anybody, positively anybody, can put onto those agencies what anybody feels like putting onto those agencies, and there are going to be those of us who are going to accept these notions as true, mainly because, for example, the internet. And we all know what goes on there, and we all know who has access to it. And yet, when we see something on that instrument, our first reaction is to say, well, it was on the internet, therefore it has to be true. Now, we must be very cautious about that. Something is either true or it is not true. And sometimes there are those of us who develop notions, and I'm primarily concerned about our holy religion, that we develop notions about our religion. And we cut these notions into granite. And heaven help anybody who tries to change these notions. Goodness knows where the notions come from. Where these, could I use the word Catholicisms, where they come from, heaven only knows. I've been around now for a couple of, 2 or 3 years, and in those 2 or 3 years that I've been around, I've never seen these notions inscribed in the books that I have had access to. And perhaps I could mention one or two of these notions, if I can think of them offhand. Perhaps one might be, I have heard say that it is improper, for example, to put flowers on our altar. Where did this come from? Heaven alone knows. Or that perhaps once we start the rosary, that the rosary has to be completed. No, there are others. And if I would bring to you all of this that comes to us by way of the mail and otherwise, I would be here for the next 3 weeks. And besides that, I would probably have a problem getting out of bed in the morning and maybe find something wrong with staying in bed. Our religion has to be accurate. We cannot afford inaccuracies. We have to present it as it is. We are in, I said earlier on, we're in betwixt and between. For example, on the one side, today, We spend a great deal of our energies saying, proving, trying to, presenting facts, arguments, etc., and so on, that the chair of St. Peter is empty. We spend great sums of our time and energy trying to prove that. That's on the one hand. I was reading only this morning in our Catholic paper that the public is being prepared for something. And they're pretty open about it. These people could care less whether somebody is sitting in the chair of St. Peter or not. What they are about to get ready to do, believe it or not, is to take the chair itself outside and burn it. That's where we are. And that in each and individual spots, each one in charge is his own authority, his own authority. And so you see, every individual, if that were true, every individual has a perfect right to come up with whatever notion. I was speaking of just a moment ago. Whatever notion. Oh yes, another notion I wish to mention before I forget. I had already forgotten. And this is by way of instruction. That there are some of us who have the idea that in order to gain the indulgences for First Saturday, that we have to go to confession on that particular day, or the day before, or the day after. That's not true. If you are a regular penitent and go to confession regularly, whether it's every week or every 2 weeks, that quite suffices. It doesn't say that you've got to go on that particular day. And so these are Catholicisms that are not accurate, and that spread around a religion that, if we're going to be careful about it, we have to put these things, what does the book say? We have to look at what is true. And if we want to be free, if we want freedom to reign in our hearts, if we once come to the truth, only then will we be free. We don't want to belabor the 2 plus 2. But it keeps coming up. And if we want to really be free, we will have to accept that 2 apples and 2 apples put together equal 4 apples. Then we're free. We're free to proceed on and on. This is a basic truth. And if there are people in outer space, if they should come here from out of space, I think we'll find that those people will also say that 2 plus 2 equals 4. And if they said it in any other way, they would not have been able to travel from point A to point B. That's for sure. So if 2 plus 2 equals 5 doesn't work for us, 2 plus 2 equals 5 doesn't work for the aliens, no matter what. Why? because this little basic thought, this little basic foundational principle takes us all the way to truth. What is truth? Truth is God. I've been trying to get through, once we got started with the thoughts on the magisterium, but there are just so many things that have to be talked about, that have to be inserted, and so the magisterium, which has a few more chapters yet before it is complete, we have to insert these for our own instruction. And the points that are sometimes put into the bulletin, like this morning, is not so much put in there as a barb against anyone here, but as instructional, that we know what the truth is. I have not the privilege, nor is it in my ability, nor in our ability, to invent truth. Today, truth is being invented. And people are accepting invented truth. Throughout Scripture, and in my reading concerning this, when I'm speaking of the magisterium, over and over and over again, I find the people of God, the people, the chosen ones of God, invented truth, they thought. And every time they put up something that they called upon as being, this is the truth, Almighty God punished. Every time. We have to be careful. We are few in number. We're getting fewer all the time. And it is up to us to maintain that only which we know to be reasonable. Once upon a time, centuries ago, our little children in school were taught three subjects which today are absolutely unheard of, especially at that age level. And they are hardly heard of in our upper level education today. Very basic subjects. They're called the trivium. They formed the complete educational curriculum for even our smallest children. And they were grammar, rhetoric, and logic. And look at how these operated in the minds of the little children, and what these subjects taught the little children. Correct speaking, correct writing, and correct thinking. The most important, correct thinking. Thinking today, certainly amongst our children, is not a commodity that is run into. And amongst a great number of our adults, this is not to be witnessed. What is presented to us is a half truth, and we gobble it up. We don't sit and reasonably figure it out. Can this be so? May I give you an example of how we can be taken up with an untruth, and yet perhaps our reasoning is correct, but we don't investigate properly. All dogs are white dogs. The little puppy here is a dog. What would be the logical conclusion to that? All dogs are white dogs. The little puppy here is a dog. Therefore, what? It would follow what? The puppy here is a white puppy. You see, the logic is correct, but it is completely unreasonable. All dogs are not white dogs. And it's presented to us in such a way, we are told all dogs are white dogs, and we don't stop to think. And we put all dogs are white dogs into our mental bank, and we run off and judge everything accordingly. And this happens time after time after time, all day long. And it's being fed to us by every agency you can think of. All dogs are white dogs. And we believe it hook, line, and sinker. And that's, again, is that not 2 plus 2 equals 23? It isn't true that all dogs are white dogs, is it? And so we run off. And our Catholicism is right in the midst of all of that. Our Catholicism has to be accurate. We cannot have any notion about what is or what it has. What is it? What does tradition say? By tradition, I'm not hooked on this line, tradition. As I said before, I think I said it here. If I didn't say it here, I said it elsewhere. If I said it here, I'll repeat it. I'm almost getting tired of hearing the word tradition, because it seems that traditional thought has a quality about it that is a cut above that which is actually true. We have that which is false, we have that which is true, then we have that which is traditional. Forget the tradition. Think only of that which is true. And we will have ourselves, we'll be so much happier, so much more at peace. And our religion, and by the way, there is a tendency, and a very strong one, that we put little cloaks of superstition upon the things that we do. We make of them so much a thing that has to be. It has to follow this rule and regulation. I have to go around the table three times, one way and one time the other way, then say the Our Father and say the Hail Mary while I go around one more time. This is voodoo. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. I am told by respectable sources that the Catholic Church will all say that Catholicism is flourishing because of the vast numbers of Catholics, and that these Catholics are coming from South America. I'm told from reliable sources that the Catholic Church in South America is riddled with voodoo. And we must be careful that it doesn't reach us. All the more reason why it isn't what I say or what somebody else says. The thing that's important is, what is it? What is the truth of the matter? And we have come to the point almost, and I have seen it and I've witnessed it, almost to the point of what the priest wears for Mass. Its cut, its shape, its design, its color, it's this, it's that, in some places. But if it's not, if it, any one of these is missing, there's something about it when he steps up on the altar that we can doubt as to what he is doing as being effective or valid. Don't laugh. This is true. This is true. We received, I was sent a letter that was sent to someone else in this country that came from the very seat of Catholicism, Rome itself. It is so bad, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I am. It is so bad that I'm not going to let the monks read it. Now they've heard me say it, that I've got it, and they're going to probably tear me apart until I show it to them. And this comes from the seat where the chair is that is about to be taken outside and burned. And when you read this letter that comes from the major superior, you have to ask yourself, or tell yourself, perhaps it's better if I just stayed home and played checkers on Sunday morning instead of going to church. Because playing checkers is far more important than going to church on Sunday morning, or any time for that matter. This is where we are. And that's why we have to be so unbelievably careful about what we think and what we do. It isn't so much a matter of what we do. Here, you have heard me and heard us and in our bulletins, and every time we turn around, we keep saying, it isn't what you do that is important. It's what you are. I can pray, I can kneel on my knees until I wear my knees out and still not save my soul. On the other hand, it is possible for me never to get on my knees or ever to say a prayer as such. but to do violence to myself, not because it is the social thing to do. Because sometimes we do violence to ourselves simply because it is the social thing to do. It is going out and working amongst my neighbor. Don't ever forget St. Paul's epistle. If I can give my body up to be burned, etc., etc., and etc. That is not what's important. The important thing is, what have I done to make myself spiritually mature enough to be acceptable to God? Only the other day, I brought this point out, and I will discontinue after that, but I think it's worthwhile. It was brought out where a little infant was brought into this church. And we say that this little infant was simply a little baby. And that we looked at this little infant as we would normally look at any little baby. What, my beloved people, must we do in order to fulfill the purpose for which we were made? And that is to achieve sanctity. What is sanctity? Sanctity is perfection. What is perfection? The perfect reflection of God Himself. This little infant had undoubtedly, without question, and it's reasonable, isn't it? It's absolutely reasonable. Has this little infant ever offended? Has this little infant ever been guilty of hurting God, of being impure, of being proud, of being this, or being that, or being the other? That is sanctity. Sanctity, my beloved people, is ultimately maturity, spiritual maturity. And it is only when we reach that spiritual maturity that we can talk about sanctity. So in effect, the little baby, 1 year old, hardly, that 1 year old child has reached a maturity that neither you nor I have come close to. When we talk about God and the things that pertain to God, all of our preconceived avenues of reason that we use, that we consider reasonable, have to be thrown into the garbage pail. This little one-year-old child has reached the maturity in 1 year, which we, in 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, have not yet reached. Isn't that something? With all of our, whatever it is that we have, you know, this tiny little infant is what we're supposed to be. And so we close at that, but I have one point I want to make. If any of you are inclined to go out to the cemetery, which I feel sure some of you are, please do not drive out there, walk, because the ground I think might be a little bit on the wet side, and we had some heavy rain here last night, so I haven't been out there this morning, and I do not know exactly the condition of things right off the bat. So be careful. Certainly you're welcome to go out there, but if you do go out there, I'd like to suggest that you walk rather than ride, because the ground, and watch for the soft spots. So God bless you. All we're trying to do here is to present to you what is true. We, in our imperfections, and we're full of them, are trying to bring to you that which is going to bring spiritual maturity to you and to us. And because you see us wearing the beautiful robes of priesthood, in no way means that we have automatically reached that level of maturity. It's serious business. There is no business on this earth that is equal to it, my beloved people.